Richard's hot. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. ما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
محمد. Who are helpers and who are pretenders? This is the subject that we are discussing, and in relationship to the six groups of people that Imam Ali dealt with in his khilafat, in his rule. And he described those six people and those six types of people in his speeches, in his khutbah. And we are now discussing the first one, and we want to wrap up this one and head right into the second one. The first one are the helpers, those who are truly those who helped Imam Ali. And we went through the signs and the characteristics and qualities that they have, as mentioned by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And right now, just to wrap it up, we see that he says that they keep a law from revolt, rebellion. And after that, after describing these signs, he says that they are those people who walk on the path of Allah. They walk steadily on that path, and they are they keep themselves in that road Allah set for them. They do not move away from that. And hence, for these people, Imam Ali ends by saying, "Adhafaru bil uqba ad-da'ima." So they achieved, after all of this, they achieved an everlasting life in the hereafter. After they went through this path and walked on this road, they achieved an everlasting happiness in the hereafter. And about these people, Imam Ali said again, "Antumul Ansar alal Haq." You are the helpers of truth. Those who have these qualities in them, he says, you are the helpers of truth. وَالْإِخْوَانُ فِي الدِّينِ And you are the brothers in religion. وَالْجُنَنُ يَوْمِ الْبَعْثِ And you are the shield on the day of tribulation. When the hardships will come, whenever hardships come, you all are the shield that protects others from tribulation. You are those people. And he says, and you are the trustees of mine for the rest of the people. So Imam Ali, qualities that we have mentioned in the previous days, you have these qualities, Imam Ali saying that you are my trustee. You are my trustee, I appoint you, and you are my representative, you have the amanat, my authority for others. And then he says about these people, he says, with your support, I strike the ones who run away.
Ya Allah.
Those who run away, I strike them with your support. Right? And with your support, I have hope in the obedience of those who come towards us. Meaning, I bring the people, those people who come towards us is because of your support. They're coming. So understand, these are the helpers. These are the helpers. This is the position that they have. This is the status that they have. So here, inshallah, we will end this group. There are many other things, but inshallah, I think this will suffice for us to understand what we must do in order to achieve the status. Now I'll head it right into the next group from now on, which is those people who were a problem for the Imam and are always a nuisance for the system of justice. Whenever there's a rightful leader, you see that these five groups will be a nuisance for him. These five types of people will be a problem for him. And hence we go into the first group of people. These people are the incompetent, lazy, having no resolve, no determination. These are people who are feeble and flimsy. And now as we see that Imam Ali described these people, and these are people who are with Imam Ali. They are not the third group who are sleeping and who have no relationship to either this side or that side. We see that this group of people are with Imam Ali in every arena he was in. Meaning they come and stand with him, they stood with him, they were side by side with him, giving him problems. You see, it's one thing that you're not even there. Right? But it's another thing that you want to be there, and you are under the flag, you stand with the flag, and then you give that flag and you give that mission a problem. This is that group of people, Imam Ali describes them. And in his time, it was the people of Kufa. It was the people of Kufa who were this group of people. that, and he describes their qualities in detail. And we'll go through those qualities. But these were people, again, I want you to understand that they would come to Imam, but when they came to the Imam, they were not helping him. In fact, they were harming his mission.
Ya Allah.
And they were making him and his cause weaker. So how did they do that? Now we see here is what Imam Ali speaks of them and explains to us in this khutbah, which is khutbah number 39. He says, I am faced with men who do not obey when I order them. You see, here are people who are with him. They are in his army. They are under his flag. They are in his camp. And now when he orders them to do something, they do not obey him. You see, now what happens, my brothers, is this. When you are on a mission, it's one of those things that you're on a mission, the people who are with you, you have to take all of them into account. And the movement of your mission is as strong as the weakest person in your life.
Teach us.
When you are walking, the weakest person determines how fast you're going. And hence what happens is that when there's weaknesses in ranks, that's when you see that now people, the leader, has to take them into account and slow down everything in order that they keep up. Now what happens is that this is the reason jihad has been dropped on those who are old and weak. Right? The reason jihad is dropped on them is because they are old and weak and cannot keep up with those who are younger. And hence it hurts the mission more than it helps to have weak people there.
Right.
Now weakness is expected from old people. But when you are a young person, weakness is not expected from you. When you are in your youth and you have strength, Allah made you strong. So now what happens? Weakness is not expected from you. So when you have young people who are weak, and they come to you, now you see, it is just like having old, feeble men in your ranks.
Allahu Akbar.
And this is what Imam Ali is saying. I ask you to do it, you're not doing it. And when I call you, you do not respond. You don't respond to me. Right. Whenever I call you, you don't respond. And then Imam Ali says to them, may you have no father. Imagine this. It's Imam Ali saying, may you have no father. This to the people of Kufa. Now, as he explains these things, now we go on. I want to make you understand one quality today that they have. And Imam Ali explains this and understand this from here. He says that no blood can be avenged through you, and no purpose can be achieved with you.
Ya Allah. Ya Allah.
When you have people who are incompetent, this is what happens. Avenging of blood is justice. You cannot achieve justice with these people. And you cannot achieve any purpose through these people. Because of the fact that whenever you need them, you see they're not there for you. When you need them, they're not there for you. Now these people, when you look at them and you see their example, then you will understand this better. In the Battle of Siffin, we see Imam Ali, he was with these people in a war against the people of Syria and Muawiyah. The war was a very long and prolonged war. It was months. It went on for months. And this is one of the reasons that, for example, some historians have justified why these people do not or did not have a strong resolve or determination. They said it was because of war weariness. They were war weary, they had gone through so much, because you see the Kufa was a army town. It was an army base. It was there since the time of Umar. He made it into an army base because that was the limits of the Muslim Empire, and hence this whole town was just army people there. And from there you see a lot of people came who were in the army, and they used to live there. It was an army base for Muslims. And this is one of the reasons that Imam Ali moved the capital from Medina to Kufa, just for this reason. Because when the war was going on, he knew that he needed to be in charge of the army. If he lets the army be away from him, then that army, if it comes in the hands of someone else, they would hurt the Muslim Ummah. So he moved the capital from Medina to Kufa just because of that. So when it was moved and now Imam Ali was there and he called these people to fight, he himself described it that when I called you to fight for a just cause, you were screaming like camels that are in pain because of upset stomach. Meaning, you were complaining, you were acting as if there was an ulcer that was bothering you. I had called you to fight for justice. As a leader, I called you and you did not come forward. You did not come forward. And when a few of you came with your heads bowed down and dejected. You see, with this attitude that you didn't want to be here. So now when Imam Ali had these people, imagine what he had to do to keep these people in order to fight against Muawiyah. You see, one of the things we need to understand here is that Muawiyah had people, but you see, Muawiyah kept them inspired. He kept them inspired all along. In fact, Imam Ali had to say to his people that the followers of Muawiyah are much better than my followers. At least they listen to him. At least they listen to him. Why is that? You see, how did Muawiyah do it? And why wasn't Imam Ali able to do the same? You see, my brothers, understand this. One of the things that's very important in a just system and in a just ruler is that he does not do anything that goes against the deen of Allah. He does not do anything that goes against the deen of Allah. He does not give false promises that he knows that will not be kept. And hence, in order for people to fight, in order for people to be an army, you need two things. Either you have to put fear in them and make them fight, or you have to attract them through their greed and make them fight. You see, what happens in the armies today? How do people get citizens to join the army? There are two ways that it could happen. Either you're going to jail if you don't come, or we'll give you a college education. Either they join through what? Through fear of jail, or through greed of dunya. And you see, they join because this is what they have. And you can make people join like that in the army. Muawiyah did the same. Muawiyah did the same. If you don't join, then it's jail or death to either you or your family, or the people that he needed. He just gave them some money and said, here, I promise you, I will make you rich. And he bribed tribes and different tribes in order to come on that level. This is how he kept them, and he made those people in that regard. So now when he got these people like that, Imam Ali could not do that. Imam Ali could not do that. Because he's not going to make the people, he's not going to force them to come, nor is he going to bribe them to come. Imam Ali wanted them to come for Allah's sake. That's why he had such a hard time to keep the people paying attention, because only a few people would come forward for Allah's sake. Most people want dunya, they do not want Allah. Salawat ala Muhammad. You see that, my brother, understand this. People who wants to come for Allah's sake, you know, you see them few. And when it's dunya that's concerned, you see there a lot. And this is the reason you see, maybe a lot of you might not know it, but those who are from Muslim countries know this more. And that is, there's one thing, there's only one event in the whole year where Allah invited people not only for worship, but to get dunya. Only one event in the year where Allah attached dunya with ibadat. He said that if you come on this night, the nourishment and the provisions you are getting are going to be appointed for you on this night. So that night is Laylatul Qadr. So that's the reason you see so many people flock to it, because it's not just worship of Allah, but also that they're getting what? Dunya with it. And you see many people coming to that. And Allah also made sure that they do come for that. Maybe that's why he attached dunya. He said, listen, you come, I'll give you something more.
Teach us.
Maybe you will learn something that night that might change your attitude, that might change your heart. Who knows? But the fact is that those who come for Allah, they don't just come for Allah on that night, they come for Allah on every night. You see, the fact is this, my brothers. People know, right? We all, mu'mineen, know. And we should, if you don't know, we should know. That Allah is giving to you. Allah is providing for you. Allah is providing for you whether you worship Him or you don't worship Him. In fact, in our experience, we have seen that He provides for you more if you don't worship Him.
That's the truth.
See, when I see the 100 richest people in America, I don't see a Muslim's name there. Understand that? I don't see it there, right? So those who don't worship Allah, those who don't believe in Allah, is giving them more. Right? So giving doesn't make you great. Allah giving doesn't make you great. Allah giving you doesn't make you great. We should know that. Allah is going to give anyway. So whether we come or not, Allah is going to give you. What we need to decide is that if Allah is going to give to us anyway, then our worship and our ibadah, our relationship with Allah, should not be for something to get from Him. That we are expecting from Him. That we want something from Him so we can worship Him. Allah is giving it anyway. Our worship to Allah should be more than just worldly gains. See? And just now, as I explained to Allah, the same thing is with the leader, with the imam. You don't go to the imam and the leader and be with him because you're getting something from him. See, again, understand this. What did the imam say? I need helpers. I don't need people who I have to help. You see, I help them anyway. I help the people anyway. But I need those characters that are coming forward to help my cause. You see, those are the people Imam is looking for. So our relationship to the Imam or to the leader is not because he's giving something, that's why I'm with him. Our relationship with the Imam is because of what? Because of the fact that we want to help his cause and we want to be with him. This is why we are with the Imam. This is why we go to him. And if this is the reason, my friend, if this is the reason, then you see, there shouldn't be any expectations that we are going to get something from him. You know, you have examples, and you have seen these examples in your life. I have examples that I've seen. It's just that, you know, some people in our times, and I give examples, you know, from our own time, so it makes more sense to us. Sometimes historical examples, you know, it's hard to relate to them. You know, there was this one sheikh, and I know him since I was in the house. And in Iran, and he was one of those people who would be in front of every rally that, and Iran, you know, there are many rallies. Anti-Israel rally, anti-Zionist rallies, you know, Quds rally, all types of things. And he would be there saying that takbir and all that. And we did all that. Now what happened is that after a long time I met him. I met him, and obviously since no one of you know him, so this is not, has anything to do with you all. And it should not fall into part of Ghibah, but this is as an example I'm giving so that you understand something of ideology. So what happened is that after a long time I met him, and I've seen that he has gone away from that ideology of being revolutionary and has become someone who was just working for money. And I asked him, what happened, you know, why aren't you, you know, I mean, you know, with us, why aren't you involved in activities and these type of things, you know? He said, you know, After all I did for Iran, after all I did for the Islamic Revolution and this and that, they didn't do anything for me. They didn't do anything for me. I said, what was the reason for you being with them? Why were you even expecting anything from them? I mean, do you think that we are with the Islamic Revolution, we are with the Path of Imam Khomeini because we are getting something from it? Is this why we are with them? Do you think that we have anything to gain in worldly sense from them? Even if they want to give, we will say you can use it somewhere else. Imagine that. Even if they do want to give, they will say, use it somewhere else, it's needed. Why? Because we are with you, you, because of the simple fact that you raised the flag of truth and we want to be with it.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
We are not gaining anything from you, we are ready to sacrifice for it. We want to sacrifice for it. What we gain is from Allah. This is what we are here for. What we are gaining is from Allah, not from these type of things. My brothers, understand, these were the people who would rather go to Muawiyah than come to Imam Ali. These were the types of people who would go to Muawiyah than come to Imam Ali. Muawiyah was giving them his coins. Muawiyah was giving them the money. Anyone who would come from Imam Ali's camp to him, he'd give it. And you know, it's known about certain companions who would be seen at both places. They'd be seen at Ali's camp and Muawiyah's camp. You know? They'd be seen in both places. And one of them is known by all. He himself said it, that they asked him, why are you in both camps? We see you here and we see you there. He says, you know, come to Imam Ali because prayer is better here. I go there because lunch is better there. You know, so there are those people who are looking for a good lunch and a good dinner. And they will be seen with Muawiyah's camp. You see? So what happens, my brothers, when we are with a leader, we are not with him because he's giving us something. He already gave us something. And I want you to understand what a righteous leader gives us first. Then know the difference. Why do mu'mineen and believers throng and they throng along around a righteous leader, a just leader? You see, mu'mineen are looking for hereafter. They're looking for jannah. They're looking to seek reward with Allah. They're looking for Allah's pleasure. What a leader gives them, and understand this much, that's all they ask of him. What a leader gives them is the opportunity to gain those rewards. That's all he gives, just the opportunity to gain those rewards. He sets the stage that they can come and help him and work for his mission so that they can gain the reward and the pleasure of Allah. And thus all believers ask of the leader, give us the opportunity so we can gain those rewards. Give us the opportunity that we can seek those rewards and the pleasure of Allah. That's all he gives. And that's what you see Imam Ali was giving them. He was giving them what? The opportunity that they can come with him and fight for him, and they can fight for Allah so that they can gain the pleasure of Allah. But those who did not have that faith, you see, it was hard for them to do that. So now, in order for them to come, they have to justify why they should come with Ali. There are people who came with Ali, and that was the problem. They didn't come for Allah's sake. They didn't come for Allah. Why did they come there for? They came there for the fact that they had a hope that they would get something in return. If Ali beats Muawiyah, there will be things to take from the battlefield, there will be rewards given out, because they were used to it. In the old wars they had, when they conquered Iran, they became wealthy. Well-to-do, they had money. When they defeated Iran, when they conquered Iran, you see, that was a big victory for the Muslim world. After that, the Muslim world was rich. Especially Kufa. It was rich because all that wealth came to Kufa. And Ayatollah Mutahhari says, this is one of the reasons that these people became lazy. Because they had too much comfort. They had too much comfort. That's why they became lazy. And I'll explain more about this later on. This is one of the reasons why these people did not have that resolve anymore. It's just an ethical issue. It's an akhlaqi issue that deals with us. Anyone who leads a comfortable life cannot endure hardship anymore. He loses that capacity. This is the reason that these people now, when they came to this in the Battle of Siffin, now you see that Imam Ali was at the victory line. He was right there. He had sent Malik Yashtar. They're almost there. And there you see Muawiyah used some tricks. And he sent some men, some money. And right away, in a panic, Muawiyah thought he's gone, he's done with. Because Malik Yashtar was in sight of his camp. And Malik Yashtar and his army was in sight of Muawiyah's camp. Muawiyah could see Malik Yashtar coming. And Malik Yashtar was also seeing Muawiyah. And he's telling him, I see you.
Ya Allah!
Coming there. And he knew that Muawiyah was, he was scared. He didn't know what to do. Amr ibn As came, raised the Quran and spears. They raised on the spears. And all these things. All of this happened. The war is going on for months now. The victory is there. And now what happens? Now these people, incompetent, these people who are feeble, weak, meek, they turn against their leader. They turn against their leader and they turn against Imam Ali and say, stop the war.
Stop
the war. You don't stop the war, we'll have to kill you. Now, what is a leader supposed to do now? His own men in his camp have raised their swords, have turned against him. How can he achieve anything with followers like this? And this is why, you see, Imam Ali now speaks about these people and says in this khutbah number 71, in such an eloquent way that only he could say it. He speaks about these people. He says, O people of Iraq. He says, O people of Iraq. You are like the pregnant woman. He says what? You are like the pregnant woman who went through her pregnancy, and on completion of her pregnancy, delivers a dead baby. Has a miscarriage. And her husband has died. And her period of widowhood is long. And There's no one to inherit her except for distant people who are not related to her. I want you to see this example, my brothers, and understand this. I want you to see this example and understand how Imam Ali described these people with this example. First, he said that you are a pregnant woman. What it means is that they had the capacity to achieve victory.
Ya Allah.
These people had the capacity to fight. They are not like the woman who cannot have babies, who doesn't have capacity. No, they had the capacity. Then they went through the pregnancy, meaning they went through the whole war. They went through all the difficult stages. Right? Until the end. And then at the end, when they went through all the hard stages, they had a miscarriage and a dead baby. Meaning, after all the hard work, instead of realizing your hopes, you had disappointment. Meaning, instead of gaining that victory, you ended up with this arbitration. With this hakamah. This arbitration that they said. You were right there. And then what happens? Because of that, the leader you had is going to die. The leader you had is going to die, and you will be without a wali. You will be without an authority. Wandering around.
Exactly.
Until people who are far away from you, that is Syria, will inherit your property. You see that? Those Umayyad, they came and inherited them. They took their property. This is what Imam Ali is saying. This is the result of people like you. Because you do not give support to the righteous leader, this will be your ending. Before you ever gain victory, you will receive disappointment. And Allah will take away that righteous leader and will put you wandering around until wrongful leadership, and you see wrongful people will inherit you.
Ya Allah, teach us. Allahu Akbar.
See that? Now what happened, these same people, when the rightful leader called them up, imagine this, when the rightful leader called them to stand up, they did not stand up. They did not get up. They did not do what he wanted them to do. So now what happened? Instead of victory, they were disappointed that because they were invaded, and now their land is inherited by a distant country who came and got their land.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ya Allah. Yes. Ya Allah. Teach us.
So don't tell me that the people there have changed since the time of Imam Ali.
Wow.
So don't come to me and say these are not the same people who killed Imam Ali. If the qualities are the same, if the attributes are the same, if the characteristics are the same, the names have changed, but the characteristics are the same. This is how you know. This is how you analyze. Imam Ali described it for you, and he let you know. This is what it is. Like it or not, this is how it is. And you know what? If Imam Ali was here again, you would let Ibn Muljim kill him again. He let it happen, right? It's good that the Imams are not alive. And the last one who is, they cannot reach him. Even on their graves, they didn't let their graves be protected. You see, my brothers and sisters, imagine this. This is a quality of who? The people who are incompetent. People who are weak. And tomorrow we will go through more qualities Imam Ali described, so that you completely understand who these people are.
Ya Allah. Teacher.
who these people are, what these people are. Then you will know what it means to be with the Imam, to be the helper of the Imam and those who were a problem for the Imam and a nuisance for the Imam. These are the people that Imam Ali says, وَلَوِدْتُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَّكَ بَيْنِنِي وَبَيْنَهُ. Oh, I wish Allah would separate me and these people.
Ya Allah.
How Allah, I wish that Allah would separate me from you so I don't have to see you again.
Ya Allah.
Imagine, Imam Ali did not complain to Allah for any reason.
Shukran Allah.
He complained to Allah, he complained for this reason. For those people who gave him those sins. He faced the greatest warriors of the kuffar, or the mushrikeen. He never complained to Allah, why did you send such strong people to face me? But when his own people, and people who are under his flag and by his side, they are the ones who... They are the ones who defy him. And they are the ones who destroy his mission and what he wants to do. Now you see, my brothers, these are the people who gave heartaches to Imam Ali. These are the people who gave heartaches to Imam Ali. Imam Ali, in his speech, had wished, how I wish I could be away from these people. And Allah granted him that wish tonight.
Teach us.
Tonight, Allah granted him that wish. You know, a person and an Imam like Ali, who really for a mu'min is his hope, and every mu'min has a hope of seeing. Really, it was 3 days of pain after he was struck on the head. And it was such a pain that when the doctor was called and he looked at the injury of Imam Ali.
Ya Ali.
Right away he looked at the injury and said to Ali that, Ali, make your last will. You are not coming out of this.
Ya Ali.
This is an injury that you have. You are not coming out of this. Imam Ali, you see, for 3 days is in pain. The family of Ali is crying. They are grieving. And Ali, for 3 days, Ali tells his children to be patient. I want you to see again, and I'm emphasizing the character of Imam Ali. The children, Zainab and Umm Kulsum, are at the side of Ali and they are crying. One night, they're crying over their father. Imam Ali, he goes into a state of unconsciousness and is coming out of it. In one of those swoons that he goes into unconsciousness and comes out of that unconsciousness, he looks anxious. Umm Kulthum asked him, "Father, what is wrong with you? Is there anything I can do to help you? Do you feel discomfort? Is there anything I can get for you?" Imam Ali said, "No, I am just feeling anxious because I saw that Ibn Muljim is in pain because of the way they have kept him."
Ya Ali.
I see him in pain because of the way they have kept him. So I ask you to go and Ease his situation. Go send someone to ease his situation. So they went. Now you see all the time Imam Ali is looking out for people. He looked out for many people. And today he's looking out for the person who was responsible for his death. You see, my brothers, this is a character. This is a divine character. This is a character that when you look at it, you see what it stands for. Today, not only is Zainab and Umm Kulsum are crying, not only are Hassan and Hussein crying, not only are the family of Ali crying, but how many poor and needy in Kufa are crying today? How many orphans are crying that Imam Ali has helped? How many widows are crying that Imam Ali used to help? All of them are crying today at the loss of Ali. And you see, the time has come for his will. And Imam Ali calls his children to come to him so that he can give his last will to the people. He asks everyone to come and see and says that, listen, after me, Hassan will be the Imam.
I testify to that.
After me, Hassan will be the Imam. And he gave the hand of everyone in the hand of Imam Hassan. He says that Hassan is your Imam. And he gave Hussein's hand in his. He gave Zainab's hand in his. And everyone, he says, that defend your Imam. Be with your Imam and support your Imam. Do not leave him alone. Always be there to defend him. And as everyone was crying, there was one child that was crying outside the room. One child was crying outside the room, and the mother of that child, Ummul Baneen, saw that child crying and said, "What is wrong with you, Abbas? Why are you outside here while all the others are inside?" Abbas said, "My father, something says that my father doesn't like me." In his own words, he said, "I don't know what is the matter with my father." He said, "What is wrong?" He said, "He gave everyone's hand in the hand of Hassan, but he did not give my hand in anyone's hand in the hand of Hassan." So Ummul Baneen took Abbas in her hand and said, "Come with me." She came in front of Ali and said, "Mawla, my master, I ask you, did my son do anything wrong? You have not given his hand in anyone's hand. Why did you give his hand in anyone's hand?" Ali looked at Abbas and said, "Abbas, how can you think that your father would have anything but good to think of you? Don't you know that you are my hope and the realization of my dream? Don't you know that I have dreamed about you before you were born? Don't you know that you are the ones who are going to keep my hope alive? Come, my Abbas." He takes Abbas's hand and he calls Hussein and says, "Hussein, come here." And says, "Abbas, put your hand in the hand of Hussein. And now defend Hussein and protect him. No matter what happens, do not leave his side."
Ya Hussein! Ya Hussein!
Ajrakumullah.
Ya Hussein!
Ajrakumullah. May Allah bless you all. May Allah accept these tears of you. Now we see that the last moments of Imam Ali has come. And now as Imam Ali gives his wasiyyah and he tells Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein that, "Listen, when I die, give me ghusl." And the camphor that came from heaven to make hunut and anoint the Prophet of Allah, what is left over of that camphor, use it on me so that you can make hunut on me and anoint me with that. And when you do that, now I ask you, after that, when you put me in my coffin, when you put me in there, you just need to hold the back side of the coffin. The front side will be held by someone else, and they will guide you to where this coffin is going. They will guide you to where this coffin is going. And now we see, in the last moment, Imam Ali went into a state of unconsciousness again. And for the last time, he came back crying. And everyone asked what happened. And before they could ask him, he was saying, I see Rasulullah. I see Rasulullah. I see my brother Jafar al-Tayyar. I see my uncle Hamza. I see the prophets. I see the angels who have come to greet me. Farewell, I'm leaving. And in one last hiccup he took, and the life of Ali came out of him. The life of Ali came out of him. And now you see everyone started to cry. Everyone is crying around Ali. Everyone is crying around Ali. Imam Hassan makes the preparation. Imam Hassan makes the preparation for his funeral. He gives him the ghusl. They make the coffin. And as it was said, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein hold the coffin from the back side. And as they raise it up, the coffin raises itself up from the front. And now the coffin begins to go. Imam Hassan had made two other coffins, so that these two other coffins would be taken in a different place, in a different direction, so that the enemies do not know where the real coffin is going. So when that coffin leaves at night, now you see it comes to a place, it comes to a place where there is dirt on the ground, and the coffin is laid on the ground. And when the coffin is laid on the ground, when they remove the dirt, they see that there's a grave that is already made. A grave that is already made. And inside there is a plaque. There's a plaque inside that says, this is the grave of Ali ibn Abi Talib that Nuh has made for Ali.
Ya Allah.
That Prophet Nuh has made for Ali. Prophet Nuh has made the grave of Imam Ali. This was in Najaf. And they came in that grave. They put Ali inside the grave. And now Ali goes in the grave. And they made the grave. My brothers and sisters, Ali is leaving us and he's departing us. Our Imam is departing us. You are crying. The Imam of the time is crying. How many people are crying and how many people will miss him? Just hear one more story. Just hear one more incident that happened. And then you give your last condolences. Now you see, when Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein were coming back on the way from the burial, they buried Imam Ali and they were coming back. They heard a wailing sound. They heard a wailing sound of someone crying. Then you see that Imam Hassan went to see who was crying, and there was a tent. There was a tent that is made in the desert outside the city. Imam Hassan looked inside. In it was an old man who had leprosy, who was a leper. He was an old and frail man, and he was crying. Imam Hassan said, what is the matter? Why are you crying? And he tells Hassan that, where have you been? You haven't come to me for 3 days. You did not come to me for 3 days. Imam Hassan said, I never came here. Who are you talking about? He said, every day someone would come to me and would wash me and feed me, and he would take care of me. Imam Hassan said, who is that person? He said, this was the person who would talk to me, who would put me to sleep, and who would take care of my. And then when Imam Hassan heard that, he said, the man who came to you will not be coming anymore. سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلب. يا حسين
يا حسين يا حسين.